In Galatians, the 6th chapter and verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." In facing the future, there are some things from the past that will continue to trouble us, continue to bother us, but those must be in the past, as Brother Ronnie said so well last night. When Paul said he had scars in his body, have you considered the source? In 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and verse 23, Paul said, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a day and a night I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God of our Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not." Scars can certainly tell a story. Paul's attitude toward these things in his life that had been and that he was facing and that he would face is given in the next chapter. In 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, at verse 8, when he prayed to the Lord, he said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Paul undoubtedly had some marks in his body physically, as well as the marks of Jesus Christ upon him as well. Scars don't always come from injuries, but we all have them. Some of us have physical scars from accidents. Some of us have emotional scars and baggage that we carry with us from grief and pain and sorrow. Then too, there are scars that take place when we grow, when we are pruned, as it were. In John 15, and verses 1 through 4, Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it." Literally, he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. We will either learn from the mistakes of the past, or we will repeat them. It seems about every 40 years, which just happens to be a generation, there is some stirring within the body of Christ in the United States. We think the way things have been done are not good enough, and we need to change them somehow. We need to improve them somehow. And that's where division is ripe. There are scars, brethren, of division in the body of Christ. Ugly scars that have come about. Over in 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter, in verse 10, the Apostle Paul said, Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. We are to have the same mind. We are to make the same judgments. We are to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Over in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and verse 3 and 4, Paul said, "You are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? Jealousy arrives within us, envying. We look at others and we think they're more popular. We look at denominations and we want to be as popular as they are. And we want the world to know who we are. And strife results and division. Are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? There is one body, and there are scars within the body of Christ. The generation that saw the introduction of individual cups into the churches of Christ in the United States is fast disappearing, if not gone. The generation that saw the introduction of Sunday school is fast leaving us, if not gone. And their hearts were scarred. Their hearts were broken from the sorrow of division. And so we have arrived at a generation that does not know the danger of division. Many insist on changing the worship. At what cost? Nadab and Abihu changed the worship. Leviticus 10 verses 1 and 2. And they died at the hand of the Lord. Fire came out and devoured them. May I encourage each of you to never be a part of putting scars in the body of Christ by causing division. But then there are individual scars as well that we must face in our life. And they too are painful. A man who wanted to have a particularly good border collie went so far as to travel to England in order to obtain one. Went throughout the British Isles interviewing men who had been masters at raising champions. And in his book of Dogs and Dangerous Men, he speaks of talking to an older gentleman and he said, "What's the secret of raising good dogs?" The man thought a moment and he said, "Regrets. Mostly regrets." There's a lot more truth to that than I want to think about. Secret of being a good parent? Too often it's regret. The mistakes we made. The questions we have. We learn from the past. But brethren, if we in the church today don't learn from the past, the church will divide again. And the only way we can prevent that is to be prepared for it. To know what we must do and to follow only what the Bible tells us to do and no more. Speaking where the Bible speaks and being silent. Not speaking where the Bible does not speak. Consider as well the case of David and the sins in his life. They marked him for the rest of his life. In 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, in verses 1 through 5, we read of his sin with Bathsheba. It came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, and David tarried still at Jerusalem. Now, I'm not sure why David was at Jerusalem. I don't know why he tarried, but he wasn't where he should have been. And as a result of this, we're told in verse 2, it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Now it does not say she was bathing. She may have been washing her hair. The Bible doesn't say. But David looked upon her, and she was beautiful. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him. He lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house, and the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." How could that happen? How could a man after God's own heart do that? How could someone as pure and brave and strong as David do that? Anyone can do it. Anyone. And it is only by protecting our hearts that we prevent it. It's only by knowing the dangers of sin that we prevent it. David then tries to hide his sin, even to the point of killing Uriah the Hittite. Nathan the prophet is sent unto David and reveals David's sins in 2 Samuel the 12th chapter. And verses 9 through 14, the scripture records, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight?" When we do evil, we hate God's commandment. We despise it. "Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife." When we break God's commandments, we despise his commandment, and we despise him. And what is the result? For the rest of his life, David will know war. There are some things that we do that have long, long reaching effects. "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. Thou didst it secretly. I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." David would, in his own words, repay the debt fourfold as each of his four sons died. And every time someone broke out in war, David would remember the past. And with deep regret, he would remember his sin. As a matter of fact, when he writes in Psalm 51 and verses 1 through 4, here are his words: "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." You see, it has some very far-reaching effects. The Apostle Paul would write later of his own life how he had made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison. He would write in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 9, "I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church." And late in life, in 1 Timothy 1 and 15, he would write, "This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And I have to tell you, it troubles me that Paul uses present tense. Not "I was," "I am." Paul would never forget his mistake. Paul would never forget his sins. They stayed with him. His regrets stayed with him. Least of the apostles. Not meet to be called an apostle. Chief of sinners. I want to say something now. And I don't usually like to say it this way, but I will anyway. I want to talk to you young people. And that, for some reason, that crowd's getting bigger. Dear brothers and sisters, some of you right now are engaged in things that are going to scar you for the rest of your life. You'll regret it for the rest of your life. You'll carry it with you for the rest of your life. Now you've got to face the future. And if you've already made some horrible mistakes in your life, you've committed some terrible sins, you're just going to have to bear it and press on. A lot of people today have the attitude, we can continue in sin because grace abounds. I have heard people make statements. I didn't hear them directly, but I heard them through other people. Oh, it's all right, you can do that because you can make a confession before the church. If you can repent, God can forgive you, no doubt. In Romans the 6th chapter in verses 1 through 6, Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Both David and Paul understood the forgiveness of sin. Both of them knew God would forgive. Both of them knew God had forgiven, but the regret was still there, and the sorrow. Now I know as a young person, you're only young once. And I know that a lot of people today have a burning desire to live it up. But at what cost? You want to be popular? You want to fit in? But at what cost? The moth earnestly desires the light of the flame. But at what cost? And many today are toying with the flames of evil desires. And the result is you are going to be scarred for the rest of your life if you live through it. Brother Ronnie spoke last night about how we have lost a lot of our children. We've lost a lot of our people, old and young. And we're scarred from that. We carry that burden. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, Peter said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Paul said in Colossians 3 and verses 1 through 3, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. If you are a Christian, then act like a Christian. Don't act like someone who doesn't even know God. Lastly tonight, one more set of scars. Over in John the 20th chapter and verse 24, Thomas was not there when Jesus appeared to them at the first. The Bible says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We call him Doubting Thomas. The fact of the matter is, this is the only place in the New Testament where it mentions that Jesus had been nailed to the cross. Matthew makes no mention of it. Mark makes no mention of it. The beloved physician Luke, though in great detail, makes no mention of it. It is Thomas and his doubting, if you will, that reveals to us that Jesus was nailed to the cross. It must have been a shocking thing for Thomas to put his finger into the print of that nail. It must have been a shocking thing for him to put his hand into the side of Jesus and see where the sword had been, where they'd pierced his side with the spear. Scars. Not scars of sin that he had done, but scars because of our sin. But in reality, scars of love. I'm firmly convinced that what people want most today in this world is to be loved. And I am even more firmly convinced that the greatest love you will ever find is Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, he gave up his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how much he loves you. Even your mother and father may forsake you. David said, when my mother and father have forsaken me, thou, O Lord, will not. Your best friends may break your hearts. Your children may abandon you. But Jesus Christ will never do that. Never. I will never forsake you. What a promise. But in order to obtain that promise, we have to be his. My sheep hear my voice, he said. Will you tonight hear his voice?